Welcome back, my friends. I'm Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you had feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. When Nathan Marsh started his journey into cannabis activism in 1993, after his father lost his life in a drunk driving accident, he was passionate that access to cannabis is a civil right and that society should be able to benefit from its positive impacts on both the mind and body. Living in Denver, Colorado at the time, he committed to doing anything he could to spread the word about the benefits of cannabis and promote legalization and decriminalization. Nathan later moved to Oregon and Washington and was involved in several nonprofits dedicated to cannabis activism. In 2015, when Oregon legalized cannabis, he produced the Oregon Hemp Fest, one of the first to be licensed by the Seattle Hemp Fest, a 501c3 federal nonprofit organization, and became the only licensed hemp fest in Oregon. That same year, he started the Oregon Growers Cup, a cannabis competition that has grown to become Oregon's largest and oldest. Today, he also produces cannabis cups in Arizona, Missouri, New York, California, and New Mexico. I invited Nathan here today to tell us about all of that and more. Welcome, Nathan, back to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be back.
Good to have you, man. Let's dive in by having you describe your event, Oregon Hemp Fest, in its 10th year. In 2025, what do attendees experience and what are the goals of the event?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the goal since 10 years ago really was just to bring the cannabis community together. You know, we all used to have to kind of get together in small groups. And of course, you guys had been doing that with the Seattle Hemp Fest, as you know, the OG event doing that. But, you know, to continue on that theme and just let people come and gather in a group setting and over the love of the plant and the benefits of the plant and just community and almost divisiveness. You know, this year is our 10th year. We've, you know, kind of had our format for years where we had, you know, Sunday, it was kind of early Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This year we've decided to kind of switch it up and do full days on Saturday and Friday. So the Friday's new. We used to do a full day Sunday, but Sunday seemed like everybody's tired and we're really focusing on the all day Friday and Saturday this year. And the kind of formula is the same. We have camping, we have an EDM dome that goes both nights. We've got a big, huge blacklight chroma depth kind of art installation that we're doing this year. There's a burlesque show. We've got main stage acts on Friday and Saturday. Alcyon Massive, Jebba White, Aaron Nigel Smith, Mr. Vale's math class, a bunch of different artists. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Nathan, what are some of the biggest challenges you face in organizing an event like this, especially with, you know, changing cannabis laws and public perception?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing, I think from the beginning, it was really important for us to, you know, provide kind of something for everyone. I think the big challenge is that, you know, the blessing of cannabis is that it really does touch all of us from every walk of life and different ideologies and all kinds of different music tastes. So, you know, I think our biggest challenge is we try to provide something for everyone. You know, we have a quiet camp for people that don't want to be at the dome all night and that want to get, you know, enjoy the day's festivities. So I think, you know, we've rose to the challenge and really just, you know, making all ages during the day so that, you know, people can bring their family. You know, making sure that anybody under 21 is wristbanded. And I think, you know, we've got a unique area here in Oregon where it's just kind of the perfect setting for everybody to get together and have a great weekend and camp out with community.
And it's a beautiful setting as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It's you know, surrounded by this, it's kind of a little field, a big field, a couple of big fields, but there's just a ancient row of oaks that are right on the creek there, and they kind of provide shade for a lot of the VIP camping spots, and it's just a beautiful area. They actually the owner had actually found competitive Indian heads where they were doing some competition arrowheads or something there, but yeah, some really tiny, tiny ones. So he said that it seemed like there'd been people gathering there for a long time.
Nice, nice. How does Oregon Hemp Fest aim to balance entertainment with education and advocacy for hemp and the cannabis community?
You know, it's kind of been an ebb and flow, and I think, you know, we could always do better. We've tried to keep people's attention, I think, has been the real struggle. You know, when you've been 10 years legal, it's kind of hard to remind yourself that, you know, there's people that are getting stopped right now as we're talking in some traffic stop that are facing criminal possession charges for marijuana in some states. So it's a challenge for us to try to get people teamed up that want to do activism with the people that are doing it. And you know, a lot of the activism here in Oregon is formed too. A lot the medical community is kind of, you know, very little now, which is, you know, I think it's not that there's not medical people using marijuana in Oregon. It's just the way they've gotten access has changed. A lot
Right.
more of it now is through, you know, personal grows or, you know, different things. So it's kind of an evolving thing. You know, one thing that we do is that on the 420 stage, every day or every, you know, day on Friday and Saturday, we'll do a 420 giveaway on the main stage and, you know, throw out a bunch of free stuff. And that seems to be the best time that we get to have speakers make an impact because everybody's there captive. And
Right.
because sometimes it's hard, a big, huge camping area, everybody's kind of doing their own thing sometimes and in different areas. So that's one place where we kind of get them all together. And then that's when we really have an opportunity to kind of talk about what's going on.
Yep. Yeah, we at H Seattle Hemp Fest, you know, we had this giant circus tent, the
Symposium.
Hemposium, with
Yeah.
panel discussions with really just like the leading people in medical cannabis, industrial hemp, you know, the
Yeah.
legalization, all the above. And it was always a challenge to fill the seats, you know, because the party was raging outside, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And so I always felt like there's, you know, a component of missed opportunity there.
Yeah.
How would you characterize the state of the Oregon cannabis market, and the multiple state rollouts that you've experienced?
Yeah, so you know, I kind of do sit in a unique vantage point as far as kind of seeing how, you know, interacting with all these different brands and then kind of seeing their course over the last 10 years and even before with medical people. You know, Oregon's interesting. I think I always, when I talk about this, I always kind of go back to the issue of the no non-residence requirement that basically we just let anybody. You know, we didn't have a residency requirement basically. So any company or group or anything could come in from out of state and immediately become a cannabis company in Oregon. And this is drastically different than the way it's been rolled out in other places. And you know, we were one of the earlier states, you know, after Washington, and everybody d has been doing it differently. And it really has been almost, you know, we might have 50 states of marijuana, 50 shades of marijuana sales, after all this is done. So I think to get back to the Oregon state, you know, after 10 years of this not really having very many guardrails, you know, it's been very competitive. There's been a lot of big money come in and lose money, and then they do fire sales. And then, you know, all the other smaller companies have to try to compete with the Ross or the, you know, Marshalls of blowout sales. And so it's been rough. I think the people that, you know, we just did a 10-year anniversary for the Growers Cup where we filmed and interviewed a bunch of activists and people who have been in the industry for at least 10 years. And they all were saying the best accomplishment they had was that they were still here. So I think, you know, it's been very, you know, competitive. I think branding and marketing has been a big issue. If you're not good at that or sales, you're just going to be rolled over by the cannabis brands that are. So yeah, it's been interesting. The other, you know, and we find it harder sometimes to get sponsorships here in Oregon versus other states where it's still brand new and still very, you know, locked down as far as how many people and companies can be involved. So there is profit and, you know, at least being able to pay your employees health insurance and stuff and just some of the goals that smaller cannabis companies try to achieve. And it's pretty hard in Oregon, at least, to do that.
Yeah. You know, cannabis legalization has been re reasonably successful, you know, and it's been advancing. Sadly, it seems like medical cannabis really took a hit from, you know, commercial legalization a little bit.
Right,
And
right.
at least in, I know here in Washington State, patients actually lost quite a bit in the trade-off, as far as the amount of plants and medicine they could possess at one time, et cetera.
Right.
And then there's industrial hemp, which really like could do the most, right? I mean, it's like the most
Sure.
potential, could literally help us combat climate change and literally like a thousand things. But it seems like the one that's struggled the most. And I'm just curious, what role does hemp play in today's economy, in your opinion, Oregon's economy, and how do a guess
Yeah.
like hemp does contribute to the growth and normalization of industrial hemp? It's a challenge, isn't it?
It really is, and we've watched it, kind of do a big ocean wave. There was a tsunami of farms. I mean, in the beginning, when hemp, when people really started leaning into the CBD and the CBG
After the
and hemp
farm bill, right? After
products,
the farm bill made it okay.
it was huge. Yeah, and so everybody in Oregon really went hard on it, and then it was kind of, I've watched Oregon farmers do this, but it's almost like everybody jumps in the boat. Hey, this is the new boat, this is the new boat, and then it gets overweight, it starts to sink, and then everybody jumps off to the old boat. And so a lot
Yeah.
of people, did the hemp, then they jump back to cannabis, then now they're kind of maybe dabbling back in a little hemp stuff, because there's not a flood of providers. There's so many different influences too that are at play. For example, THCA is a really good example of something that Oregon has not really experienced at all until recently, which I'm not even sure why, but it's really been a big kind of loophole in other states. And Oregon, of course, has just regular weed. They don't have to call it something different or do whatever they're doing. And so, but now there seems to be kind of resurgence of the THCA. Which, in a lot of scenarios is using
Help
hemp.
revive the hemp industry, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I would say, it's kind of been an up and down and all around, and a lot of
Yeah.
guys here in Oregon were providing other states. I mean, I remember in the beginning there were cigarettes and gas stations, Oregon hemp, packed up kind of almost like little Marlboros in Texas, flying off the shelves, and here nobody would buy it. Because everybody's wanting to smoke real cannabis THC, so, or I guess it's all real, but you know what I mean. They wanted to get the effects. And it's been interesting too, because for us, we I think are just like all the people from the early days. We have been dreaming of this hemp and industrial revolution, and I live in a perfect area as an example. We passed probably, I don't know. I mean, $500 million infrastructure of, because this is the biggest timber sales in the world happens here. Timber is here in Roseburg, Oregon, and it's the timber.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For capital, as they say, and we've got just insanity amounts of infrastructure and machinery that would have to be duplicated to really push the hemp the way it needs to be competitive with trees. So I think you've got an existing very entrenched kind of like the oil versus the clean energy. You've got you're going to bump against these oil guys for a long time, I think. And so I think it has to be maybe more small batch. We get smaller, there's a lot of stuff like hempcrete that's really amazing. And I guess just keep supporting these people that are doing this and trying to spread the word. As far as like major adoption where it kind of changes our society, it's just, I feel like there's a lot of forces that are probably pushing back on that.
Yeah, kind of the same old story. I mean, I know that, we've been so, like you said, so excited about the potential for hemp to, replace, dangerous petrochemicals and gypsum cement and do all these wondrous things. And then the kind of CBD
Right.
crazed happened and everybody was growing it to get, oil
To
for
get the
CBD, right?
flower.
I'm like, wait a minute,
Yeah.
what,
Yeah.
but of
Yeah.
course, like you said, we don't have the processing facilities that we had, like, in the 30s and the 40s when was
Yeah.
industrial hemp was really happening.
Yeah.
You mentioned some music. Can you give us a sneak peek into this year's event? Any standout speakers, performers?
Yeah.
You mentioned
Yeah,
some new additions and stuff, but can you expand on that?
Yeah, sure. Alcyon Massive. He's been gosh, he's kind of a Oregon superstar, if you could say that. But yeah, he's definitely a very popular artist here in Oregon. He's our Friday night headliner. And then Jubba White, he's Portland reggae artist. And then Aaron Nigel Smith, Michael Leslie, the Light Code Band. And then we've got some other Portland bands, Mr. Vail's Math Class, which is a very cool jazzy kind of five piece. The Southern Sun, Widespread Haze, Eichel and the Circle Delight with the Solution. Henry Hagen Band, my daughter, actually, this is going to be, I think, her third festival where she's performed. And
Nice.
she does, she does ukulele. And Henry Hagen from up in Seattle area and his band, 3 in 1, they're from up in Seattle as well. And then quite a bit of DJs and Dirty Dirty, Shook, J Sonic, Jeffrey Smith, DJ Edgeline. And then, we've got a new kind of interactive art installation too that we're working on that uses blue light and chroma depth and live painting and kind of the fun nighttime stuff.
Nice. How about potential resources for sponsorship, vending, and networking opportunities that Hempfest offers for Oregon-based startups and small cannabis brands, etc.? What kind of opportunities are there, and is it too late to get involved?
Yeah, it's not. And as much as I said it's harder for some of the sponsors nowadays, we actually haven't raised our prices in 10 years. So we have very affordable booths where you can get a vendor booth for $250. If you're a craft person, it's 125. So we really try to encourage as many people to be involved. You can go to our website, OregonHempFest.org, and check out the options there. And yeah, we still have some sponsor options available. We distribute flyers and posters across the state, and of course promote on our website and our Instagram and social media, and then of course signage and stuff at the event. So there's a lot of different opportunities for promotion for your brand.
What kind of community response have you had? I mean, this is your 10th year, right?
Yeah, no, we've definitely got a cult following. Word of mouth has been great. And that's, I think, maybe we only charge $20 to attend as well. And that's kind of goes back to the medical, in the beginning in 2015, there was a lot of people that were medical patients that, $20 was even, struggle sometimes. So we've tried to stay true to that, not let the cost barrier, and just even in the essence of you guys even being free, it's like, you want to make sure that there's access for everybody, especially when it comes to getting information on the medical benefits and being able to be part of the community. So,
How about law enforcement? You must have to deal with at least, local authorities a little bit and stuff. And what's their attitude? Has their attitude changed in the last 10 years?
I would say it has. The first year, I remember calling the sheriff, who's been the sheriff actually for this whole time, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. I called Sheriff Hanlon, and he was, kind of funny. It was just got legalized, and I was, obviously not wanting to, wanting to do everything legal. And the backdrop for Oregon was Condi. He was ran out of the country by the government
Bill
when he did
Condi
his
from his lumber
hemp
yard,
fest.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And so I was coming on doing the Hemp Fest in Oregon right after the guy before me had been run out of the country. So I was a little apprehensive about just how it would go. But they actually responded really well. They saw that I was being professional and I was doing a legit event and getting insurance and not letting kids spend the night. And then he also was very blunt in saying, hey, we have alcohol events that concern us much, much more than an event with just marijuana and no alcohol. And we've never had alcohol at our events, so not having a bar there, cuts out a lot of issues, and everybody's great at our events. So over the years, the only thing we've ever had is somebody looking for a teenage girl that had camped outside of our event because they weren't allowed to do it, and she had camped outside with her boyfriend who was also underage. But that's about the only thing we've had to worry about law enforcement over the years. So.
We had the same experience. By eliminating alcohol, it eliminates 90% of the problems,
Yep, absolutely.
and over the years, doing all kinds of events most of the problems that we had were related to alcohol, and
Yep.
so, and you don't want people mixing and getting back on the road, driving home. So,
Agreed.
there's just a
Agreed.
lot to that, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you think there are unique challenges that Oregon hemp and cannabis businesses face compared to other states? I mean, how would you rate the general model of Oregon State as it approaches, you know, legalization?
I probably sound like a heretic saying this, but I believe in free weed. I wish that weed didn't cost money at all. And I know that goes against kind of the business model of everything that we've built. But I say that because I don't know that there's a perfect capitalistic model that works. Oregon went in with this free barriers. Everybody can come in with not a lot of money. I mean, still a lot of money, but not millions, and so I think Oregon is probably in the top percent. I mean, I think as much as there's, I mean, the other, I guess, issue, caveat to this is whether or not, your state in Washington, like when I lived up there, my brother still lives up there, it's not really realistic for you guys to throw four plants in your backyard, even if you were allowed to, which you're not, right? So it's here, everybody can grow four. And the climate is really good for it in most of Oregon. Portland, not so much, but majority of Oregon is covered in great cannabis growing climate, and we are allowed to just throw it out and do it. So that in itself has had such a weird impact on the rec market because, if I have pounds of my house that I grew legally and my neighbor has medical conditions, I can just give her ounces. And that happens,
As it should be, right?
Exactly right. So that kind of goes against this grain of these companies trying to make a brand and a successful living doing what they love, which is, growing and selling cannabis. So it's really hard. I think it's about as diverse as the human species, right? As far as the yings and yangs involved in it and all the angles. And it's just it's really interesting. I don't know. That's a tough question, but I definitely think that it's better than a lot of the rollouts where it's just been, hey, 12 dudes in a hot tub chopped up the pizza,
Imagine if the wine industry was limited to every state had a completely different model, and it was all done differently, different regulations, different freedoms, different licensing, and you couldn't sell interstate, interstate, right? It would be, it would be a fraction of what it is today. And
Yeah, and
so,
then today, I don't know if you saw the article that came out just literally today that I read about the DEA saying that, organized crime and cartel and Chinese companies have infiltrated and are using the legal cannabis market to do their stuff.
yeah, I
So,
mean, there's
yeah.
some truth to that, but that's
Sure.
they do. There's cigarettes and everything else, right? I mean,
Right.
yeah, I mean, there's this kind of strange uncertainty hanging over us now on what's going to happen with cannabis, and
Yep,
I know that
agreed.
there's two states right now, Texas included, that's trying to just completely eliminate hemp
All
THC
of it.
or hemp,
Yeah.
nine and seven and all that. And there's
Yeah.
nine states that are trying to roll back legalization at all. And you wonder,
Wow.
what are the feds going to do? It's kind of a very unpredictable situation where we kind of felt like we had momentum moving forward. And now, I mean, I think nobody knows what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah, we might move back a little bit. Yeah, interesting.
We got about 2 minutes left. How can people get involved? You kind of mentioned the website one time. What opportunities are there for people to help out? What are your final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
So again, OregonHempFest.org. You can also find us on Instagram at OregonHempFest. We did have a street team post that you can find in there. If you want to be involved and help spread flyers around your community, we can hook you up with some swag and some free tickets. And there's a cool little opportunity there. Also, we have our growers cups. If you're in other states, we're doing the Coachella Valley. The Coachella Legacy Cup is October 18th, and the Missouri Growers Cup, our third year, is going to be August 23rd, and then December 6th is the Oregon Growers Cup. So, yeah, just get involved, reach out to us, find us on Instagram, and Yeah, look forward to hanging out with you.
Well, Nathan, you know, it's always good to talk to you, man, and I really
Same,
appreciate,
baby.
you know, what you're doing. And as somebody who can speak for Seattle Hemp Fest, you know, we very much, you know, love the way you've approached your event, man, with professionalism and attention to detail and safety first. And you know, it's always
Thank you.
about doing everything as socially responsible as possible, because that's the way we should do everything.
Yeah,
So I just want to
agreed.
tip my hat to you, man, and say how
Well,
proud we
thanks.
are. We're just proud of the association in general, and you know, and proud to be part of such an awesome culture movement, all over the world, really. And it's
Yeah.
always
Well,
exciting.
and I would be lying if I didn't say that that you guys started that spark in me, you know, back in Seattle when I was a 20-year-old going to your events. So it's
Right on,
yeah,
man.
it's an honor to try to pass the torch and keep it lit.
Got to keep the fire burning, right?
That's right.
That's how we do it.
Absolutely.
Nathan
Lamplighters.
Marsh, at OregonHempFest.org. It's great to talk to you again, bro. Thanks for your work
Thanks,
and
man.
thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely.
The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand, and the outro music's Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time.
Marijuana!
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.